centuries before Jesus came to the earth, the prophet Isaiah said this: "The Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, the Lord our God with us." These are awesome days that we live in because we have the opportunity to experience Jesus in a powerful moment just like this. That he's not dead on a cross, decayed in a grave, but he's a living Savior, the hope of the whole world. And so this morning, I want to read to you the Christmas story, make a few observations, and then we're going to sing Silent Night together. But I want to first begin by just saying Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas Eve. I mean, it's going to be a great, great day and a great evening tonight with your family and friends. And we're just very grateful that we can be a part of a spiritual family of people who love Jesus with all their hearts. Here's what the Bible has to say in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." As I read this story, I want you to make a mental note of the circumstances of Jesus' birth. You know, he could have chosen to come at any time, in any way that he wanted to. But he chose this moment in time. He chose this place, and he chose these people. So make a mental note each time we talk about one of the circumstances here of how Jesus chose to come. Bible says in verse 2, "This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all about them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem, and let's see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned. They glorified God, praising him for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." This past week, I was reading a devotional. This particular one was by Janet Dennison. And she posed the question, why did Jesus come as a child? Why did Jesus choose to become a baby when he came here? When you think about Christmas and the celebration of Christmas, we could be celebrating a lot of different ways this morning had Jesus made another choice. We could be celebrating a coronation of a king, just the anniversary of that coronation. We could be celebrating the anniversary of a conquering hero, a conquering general, a conquering political government. We could have been celebrating all that this morning. But no, we're celebrating the birth of a helpless infant child, Jesus, the Savior of the world. And as you think about the story that I just read and look back at some of the details of the story, it's what you need to realize, that before Jesus ever arrived, everything about him that he was going to do had been prophesied. This was not some random happenstance of somebody who rose to fame. No, this was something that was pre-planned out. The Bible says from the beginning of time. And so Jesus chose every one of these circumstances in which he came to the earth, when he came to us. He chose to be born into a time of deep spiritual darkness. He came to a place that was really the armpit of the world. The Romans had control over it. They'd taken control from the Greeks. It was a military regime. And it was a very, very difficult time. There was emperor worship going on. There was pagan religions that were rampant. Immorality was just the order of the day. It was a very dark and treacherous time. Jesus chose that time to come as the light of the world. He chose to announce his coming to shepherds. Shepherds in that society, or in any society, aren't the most impressive of all the people, right? I mean, if you're going to announce your coming, it seems like you might, in today's vernacular, maybe go to New York City or to Washington or perhaps Los Angeles or even Dallas City Hall. You'd go somewhere, right? And you make an announcement that the King of the universe is about to be born. But Jesus chose to make sure that that announcement was made to lowly and lonely shepherds. The least impressive of society got the most impressive story of all history. Jesus chose it that way. Jesus chose Joseph and Mary. Think about this just for a minute. Two obscure, poor people who weren't even married yet. Jesus chose them. A teenage girl, if you will, to not only bear the Savior of the world, but to raise the Savior of the world. Jesus chose two poor, obscure people. Jesus chose to come at the time of a census. Interesting time, because people were going all to and fro, lots of travel, lots of things going on. And by the time that Joseph and Mary, because she was heavy with child, by the time they got to Bethlehem, there was no room left in any of the hotels, any of the inns, any of the rooms for hire. There was no room left at all. And so as a result of that, okay, they ended up in a stable. You know, it was a time when the Roman government was counting people in order to increase their tax base. But God was counting us in order to give us a Savior that could save us from our sins. Jesus chose to step into this world as a helpless infant. I don't know about you, but if I were the King of the universe, I don't know that I would come as a baby, as a little infant. I think I would come back as like Napoleon, except taller. You know, I would come back as a conqueror, but not Jesus. He chose to come back as a helpless infant child, a newborn, if you will. He chose to a stable and a feed trough as his first home. He chose to wrap himself in humility rather than in the glory of God. Jesus chose to be born in Bethlehem, 5 miles from Jerusalem. When you go to Israel and you take the excursion from Jerusalem over to Bethlehem, you realize it's a very short bus ride over there. It's a huge difference between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Bethlehem now in these days is part of the West Bank. And so you have to go through a border to be able to get there. But once you reach the edge of Jerusalem, looking back towards Bethlehem, you can actually see the outline of the city. It's not that far. You can walk to it. Jesus was born 5 miles from Jerusalem, 5 miles from Herod's temple, 5 miles from the religious elite of the day, 5 miles from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the chief priests. 5 miles. 6 hour walk for someone who could walk fast. But yet, they didn't know about it. They didn't recognize him. What's interesting about it is that Jesus was dedicated in the temple amongst all the religious elite, that he was circumcised there, that from the age of 12 until his final ministry, that he came every year at the time of the Passover. Yet no one ever recognized him. No one ever really saw him for what he was. Here's what the Bible has to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul writes, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what's weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. You ever notice how much people want to say this is what Jesus looked like? I mean, who they cast as Jesus in any movie. Pictures of him. I remember very, very, very strongly a picture of Jesus that hung in the First Methodist Church in Bolivar, Tennessee. Because every day you had to walk under it. He was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. He wasn't as white as me, but he's pretty white. And I thought that's what Jesus looked like. Several months ago, take a look at this painting. Several months ago, this painting by Leonardo da Vinci. It's, you know the name of the painting? In Italian, it is Salvator Mundi. Salvator Mundi means the savior of the world. It's the most expensive painting that has ever sold in the history of art. $450 million. You could build half of Jerry's world for $450 million. And so it's a piece of art. You know what it depicts? It depicts Jesus. Why would something sell from it? Well, first of all, Leonardo da Vinci painted it. But secondly, we're obsessed with knowing, what did he look like? What did he look like? If he were here today, would we really recognize him? Here's a thought. When you look at me, you see my outward appearance. You see me, and if you know me or we've met before, you say, well, that's Joe. Because you see what I look like in one piece. But I'm made up of millions and millions and millions of molecules that you can't see, that are invisible. And it is the invisible put together that makes me visible. And so Jesus was invisible to them as the Savior of the world. Even though they could see him, even though they knew what he looked like, they had no revelation about who he was or what he was all about. I hope we don't make the same mistake. I don't hope we don't make the same mistake by enjoying a Christmas day without making the subject of the time Jesus. Without making him the subject. When you look at these details, look at all this that Jesus chose, I believe that Jesus chose the details of his birth for one reason, so that we could recognize him when we sing. You know, he's not dead on a cross. He's not decayed in a tomb. He's alive. He's alive, and that means he can be seen and felt and interacted with now, here. When we talk about Advent, we talk about the fact that Advent of his coming or his arrival. And so Jesus has come. He is here presently, and he will come again. That's what Advent's all about, is remembering that he came, but also understanding that he's here now. And there's a day coming when he will return in power. He'll return. So I believe that we can see Jesus just like he chose to come in the dark time and desperate times. We can see him when times are dark and desperate around us. Just like he came as an infant. When you hold that newborn and you look into that newborn's eyes, you can see Jesus. It's a miracle. You can see Jesus in there. When you are around the unimpressive and the poor, you can see Jesus. He's there. He's there in their midst. in the midst of humble and meager circumstances. Look around. Jesus is there. He's there if you can just see him. And ultimately, you ought to be able to see Jesus in each other. As we gather to worship together, we ought to be able to see Jesus in each other. We are the body of Jesus Christ here on the earth. And when we see each other, we ought to celebrate the Jesus that we see in each other's lives. He has come. He is here present. And he'll come again. We live in a time where people ignore that the reason for Christmas is Christ. They ignore that. But it's a great thing that Jesus didn't ignore us. And it's even a greater thing that he's not ignoring us now. That even in the midst of our rebellion, even in the midst of our selfishness and going our own way, Jesus still extends his love to us. Because that's his heart. That's why God sent him. The motive for him coming was that God so loved the world. That's you, me, and everybody else in it. That he sent his only begotten son, Jesus. That whosoever should believe upon him, they would never perish, but have eternal life. Have eternal life. Jesus gave us the greatest gift imaginable. Eternal life. Let's not take him for granted today. Let's not take him for granted tonight or take him for granted tomorrow. But let's celebrate him. And let's make every day Christmas Day. We're going to take just a moment and reflect and just worship the King. We're going to sing Silent Night together. So if you would stand, and I'll dismiss you immediately after we sing.
Thank you, Joe. Joe's going to let me share something that Sam, come stand with me. But Charles and Sam have been here helping, forever with our children's church. They're moving up to Oregon, and they're going to work with a children's program up there. We love you. We're going to miss you. And Charles was sharing that he called the pastor up there in Oregon to say that everything's good. They're going to head out on Tuesday. And the pastor told him a story. And Charles isn't in here, so I hope I get it all right. But there's a family in the community there in Oregon. They're extremely poor, and the church has been reaching out to them. And finally, they had a children's program, and the family came. And that night, they live in a trailer house. The trailer burned down, and everyone got out but the mother. And so the mother, I mean, this just happened. The mother died. And so anyway, I was just so emotional for a service, and didn't know Joe'd ask me to share in second service, but you know what? There is such a reason for the season, and that community just reached out to that family, and now, you know, there she is, and I believe she really is with God. And so, anyway, I just wanted to encourage all of us to reach out to others, to love others, love them where they're at. You know, just let's do that more and more in the next coming year. Just invite people to our homes, or just meet them somewhere, see what you can do to serve them and love them. But we are going to miss you all, and thank you so much. Sam, let's give it up for Charles and Sam, you guys. Okay. And now Pastor Joe's going to close it, because I don't know if I'm very good at all that stuff. But thank you all for letting me share it. And just, you know, every day counts, every day matters. And we love you all. And Yeah, Merry Christmas. Here you go.
Merry Christmas.
Sam, we love you. All right, Lord, we just pray for Sam, Charles, Lord, as they travel. Give them travel mercies, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon them. Lord, as they go, Father, anoint them. Be used in a powerful way. Lord, we send them out as a gift from this body to another body. Lord, let them prosper there. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Take the hand of your neighbor. Lord, I thank you, Father, for every person that's here. Lord, I thank you for their lives. Lord, come. Come in a powerful way to each individual. Reveal yourself to them, Lord. Let them know the great love that you have, Lord, in giving us eternal life. Lord, we love you and we bless you. And everybody said,
amen.
God bless you. Have a great evening.